This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, on the resurrection of Jesus. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they all remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, it is a beautiful day. It's a wonderful celebration to remember the resurrection of your Son Jesus, to share the news with joy today, to come together as people who believe in the risen Christ. Thank you for forgiveness we received again today. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you with music and song and to be inspired by the beautiful singing. And thank you, God, for your word. And as we now will reflect upon the message for today, I pray that your spirit will work in our hearts and lives to open us to receive your message. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who's alive? I mean, it's a good question, right? Why would we do that? So what were the women doing there early in the morning, the first day of the week? What did they expect to find? They were going to finish Jesus' hasty burial. They had come with burial spices and oils, and so they expected to find a tomb with a stone door and a corpse inside. Now, they may not have been as sophisticated, I guess, as you and me, but they were rational. And they knew that, you know, a corpse, right, do not rise from the dead. And so what they found was an open and empty tomb and two men with clothes that shined like Jesus on his transfiguration. Men in dazzling clothes and heavenly brightness, and we can assume that they were angels. And so that was unexpected, but their news was not. When they said, "He's not here, but has risen," that wasn't unexpected at all. Unusual, yes. Out of the ordinary, certainly. Not your everyday experience, I mean, absolutely, but it wasn't unexpected. Why? Because Jesus has told them at least three times in advance. And he hinted at it a few times more. And that's what the angels reminded the women of in verse 6. Remember, Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. He told you. He had to be killed on a cross and then 3 days later rise up. He prepared you. He predicted it. Why didn't you believe him? Well, why don't we face it? I mean, if someone you know tells you, listen, you know, I'm about to die, but 3 days from now, I'm going to rise up from the dead and I'm going to be alive again. Would you believe that person? Or would you think that she's crazy or he's crazy? So put yourself in the disciples' sandals, okay? They had left their lives and their livelihood to follow Jesus. Peter, Andrew, James, and John left the family business high and dry to go off with this traveling preacher from Nazareth who said to them, you know, little more than follow me. Matthew left a lucrative tax collection business to follow Jesus. And things are going along just fine, you know, miracles and teaching and crowds and popularity, until Jesus starts talking what only can be called crazy talk. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life. Wouldn't you have had some questions? A few doubts, misgivings maybe. And so when the women returned from the grave and told these things to the 11 disciples and all the rest, no one believed them. It seemed like nonsense to all of them. When Peter saw the empty tomb and the burial cloths, he wondered to himself what had happened. He had forgotten Jesus' words. He did not believe Jesus had risen. The disciples did not expect this despite what Jesus told them. The women did not expect this despite what Jesus told them. But Jesus told them and he predicted it. Now, do you know what the test of a prophet was during those times? If what he or she predicts comes to pass, then he or she is considered reliable and true. But if what he or she prophesied did not come true, then he or she is false and deserves to die for lying in the name of God. So Jesus predicted his death and his resurrection 3 times before it happened. And it came true. Now there's the story, the old story of, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals pitcher, Dizzy Dean. How many of you remember it? This was way back in 1934, okay? So Dizzy, what an awesome name, you know, Dizzy Dean. Dizzy predicted at the start of the season that his 1934 Cardinals would win the pennant and that he and his brother would win at least 40 games. And questioned about the statement, he said, "It ain't bragging if you can do it." And as history records it, they actually did it. Dizzy won 30 games, his brother Paul won 19, and the Cardinals won the World Series in 7 games. It ain't bragging if you can do it. Now, Jesus predicted his death and resurrection 3 times. It ain't bragging if you can do it. And he did it. He rose from the dead just as he said he would. And the word from the tomb this Easter morning is this: he is not here but has risen. Remember how he told you. And so the word of Jesus is vindicated. He is proven true. His word is proven reliable. And I tell you, this is vitally important because it is really the linchpin of our faith. This is absolutely essential for what we believe. You know, what the Apostle Paul says to the Romans. He, Jesus, was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. So he says Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. And then Paul writes further to the skeptical Greeks in Corinth, and they were perfectly comfortable with an immortal soul, but they were skeptical about the resurrection of the body. And so Paul says to them, I told you the most important part of the message exactly as it was told to me. And this part is, Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say. He was buried and 3 days later was raised to life, as the scriptures say. And Christ appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after this he appeared to more than 500 other followers, most of them still alive, but some have died. He also appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and finally appeared to me, even though I'm like someone who was born at the wrong time. The words of Paul. And he goes on to flesh out what the implications are if Christ is not raised from the dead. Because you see, if Christ is not raised, then Paul's preaching and, you know, what I'm sharing with you today is empty. It's just hot air and really wasted words. It means nothing. If Christ is not raised, then your faith is empty too. Your believing is for nothing. There's no point to it. If Christ is not raised, then Paul's witness and all the other eyewitnesses, all 500 plus, are liars in the name of God. And they would be people who have perpetrated the biggest hoax ever pulled in the religious world. If Christ is not raised, if he did not come back from the dead, then your trust in him is useless and misplaced. And worse, you are still in your sins. If Christ is not raised, then all the dead who have gone before us are lost, and there's no hope of ever seeing them again. Paul says, if our hope in Christ is good only for this life, we are worse off than anyone else. If all there is to our faith is this, right? That somehow Jesus will help us cope and make us feel good about ourselves and help us to be healthy and wealthy in this life. If that's all there is to Jesus, then we're the most pitiful fools that have ever bought into a religious lie. If Christ is not raised from the dead, if there's some box of bones out there with Jesus' name on it, then you might as well find another religion, or maybe you should abandon religion altogether. That's how important the resurrection of Jesus is. If Christ is not raised, then how can you trust him? How can you trust his word? It'll all just be empty talk and wishful thinking. And so this message of the angel here at the empty tomb on Easter morning rings out across the centuries to our ears here today at the Community Church of Douglaston. He is risen. Mary Magdalene and the other women saw and bear witness. Peter and John saw and bear witness. The 11 and the two on the road to Emmaus, the 500, James and all the apostles, Paul, all of them testify, many bearing witness with their lives as martyrs to the fact of Jesus' resurrection. I mean, if this word seems like nonsense to you, or to all of us who are skeptical and scientific people, if we are doubtful about the resurrection of Christ, then the message this morning for you is this. Suspend your skepticism and hang it to the cross. Because these people who testified did so with their lives. They could have saved themselves quite easily. All they had to do was deny that Jesus had risen. They could have saved their lives by taking the authorities to the body. The Romans and the religious authorities of Israel could have put down this Jesus movement in a heartbeat by parading a rotting corpse through the streets. But they did not, because there was no corpse. Jesus was risen just as he had said. I don't know if you remember, in 2007, you know, a group of 15 British sailors were held captive in Iran for 12 days after allegedly invading Iranian waters. And they signed statements indicating that they indeed were in Iranian waters. And they also signed statements apologizing for past British transgressions against Iran. And after their release, they renounced everything they had signed. Under pressure, they were willing to lie in order to save their lives, and it happens all the time. But it did not happen with those eyewitnesses who saw Jesus alive after his death. They could have spared their lives by changing their story, but they did not. They stuck to their story, as unbelievable as it was, and most of them cruelly lost their lives as a result of it. You see, you and I live in a privileged time. The work of saving this fallen world is accomplished. The new creation has dawned. The dead are raised. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. Christ is risen. His word is vindicated. The apostolic word is vindicated. The ministry of the word and the church gathered around his word is vindicated. Your faith in Christ is vindicated. You can be as confident of your resurrection as Jesus is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. Your faith is not in vain. Your sins are forgiven. There is hope in this life, and there is hope in death, and there is hope for eternal life with God, and there is hope for a new creation. And it all hangs on this little sentence. He is risen. We've come a long way in our Lenten journey that started on Ash Wednesday. And we've heard Jesus' famous last words, the words of love from the cross to us, the pardoning word of his forgiveness, the promising word of paradise, the faithful word spoken in abandonment, the compassionate word to his mother, the suffering word of his thirst, the dying word committing his spirit to the Father, the fulfilled word of his mission, it is finished. And here today, the vindicated and vindicating word of the resurrection. And so rejoice, rejoice, you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Rejoice, you are children of God because of your faith. He is risen. Remember, remember what he told you. And so today on Easter Sunday, we simply say, Jesus, for your resurrection, for your appearance to eyewitnesses, for your word and for your baptism, for your body and blood, for your forgiveness and life and salvation, for the sure and certain hope of eternal life and our resurrection, we give you thanks. And we give you praise. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, our prayer is simple this morning. Thank you for the resurrected Jesus, for your Son coming back from the dead, conquering death, making new life for us possible, eternal life with you. And if there's any doubt in our hearts, may your Spirit take that doubt away and give us the reassurance that your Son is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit now and also for eternity. That those who belong to you through him, through faith in him and baptism through him, that they will be raised to new life also. And so we praise you on this Easter Sunday for these words, he is risen. Amen.